You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
October the 19th, 2021, we still do not know how many Americans are trapped in Afghanistan. They are, in effect, hostages of the Taliban if they can't leave the country. And whether or not they're actually in the hands of the Taliban, Al-Qaeda, or ISIS, we don't know. And the Biden administration continues to be silent on it, just not wanting you to even think about it. Same thing, they don't really want you to think about what happened down in Haiti. 17 missionaries from an Ohio-based Christian Aid ministry were kidnapped by an armed gang near the Haitian capital. They were down there, 12 adults, 5 children, including an 8-month-old baby that one of the parents decided they had to bring with them because they had a love to go help those in need. They've all been kidnapped. The FBI now joining in on it, but apparently this is a violent group with a long history of killings, kidnappings, extortion. Said you want them free? We want $1 million for each. The ransom demands from Afghanistan will be coming in the future. You watch for it. You would expect Republicans to make noise about what's happening along the border, and yes, they do on a continuous basis. And in fact, again, today, Senator Ted Cruz, Republican of Texas, said what's happening at the border is an absolute tragedy, and Joe Biden and Kamala Harris have caused it. And their entire strategy is to ignore it, and they count on the corrupt corporate media to ignore it. And he's right. State-controlled media also ignoring that story. But it's not just Republicans upset with what's happening along the border. Texas State Representative Eddie Morales Jr., Democrat from Eagle Pass, sent a letter to President Joe Biden requesting approval of Governor Greg Abbott's border emergency declaration that would allow FEMA to reimburse residents for damages caused by illegals crossing their land or breaking into their property. This is a Democrat saying we're hearing numerous reports of migrants coming up to homes, breaking in, fences cut, water lines severed. They can't afford to pay these repairs over and over again. But what we do have in the Biden administration, we now have a new U.S. Assistant Health Secretary, Dr. Rachel Levine. This is really special. She is now the first openly transgender 4-star officer in the uniformed services. To see what the Biden administration is accomplishing. By the way, back in Texas, they are now investigating what caused the crash and if everyone did, in fact, get out. They think they did. At McDonnell Douglas MD-87, we do not know if it's linked to a carrier or was a charter flight. It was taking off from Houston Executive Airport heading to Boston. Had trouble lifting up, crashed just north of the airport, caught on fire. We're told at this time all 21 on board got out safely. What is President Biden doing about the economy and everything and taking care of our labor shortages and our supply blockage? Well, he's going to hold another town hall meeting with CNN and NN. And he'll be talking with Anderson Cooper and answering softball questions from Cooper and members of the audience in Baltimore. A hand-picked audience. This will be his third such effort. Not one of them has garnered any real attention. In the meantime, 60-plus cargo ships still anchored off the shore of California can't get in. Procter & Gamble says it's going to start increasing prices. The NHL suspending San Jose Sharks forward Evander Kane For 21 games, he submitted a fake COVID-19 vaccine card. Country music star Travis Tritt said, I'll put my money where the mouth is. I won't play anywhere if they're demanding those attending have to show a coronavirus vaccination card or a negative test. Good for Travis. And former L.A. Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa, in an interview with NBC, said, after going through this city where I was born and raised, I've never seen L.A. so dirty, crime up so quickly, so many homeless. There's a clear lack of leadership in L.A. You nailed it. Now, who's going to take care of it and be responsible? Ah, that's another question.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
If you have mold in your home, your family can get very sick. You need to call Wellington Environmental. Realtors, even hospitals and doctors call Wellington to solve mold issues. A Belleville homeowner discovered mold. Good thing he called Wellington. The mold is gone, and Wellington's new chemical process saved him $3,500. A university was facing some major mold issues. They called Wellington. Issue solved. The university saved $40,000. Wellington also helps research and test new products to deal with mold. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the BBB, Missouri and Illinois. Say you heard about Wellington on Larry Connors USA. Save $100 on any mold treatment or $50 on mold sampling. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental. My sponsors keep this program on the air. So my thanks to John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Beal Roofing, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Oh, give me the beat, boys, and free my soul. I want to get lost in your rock and roll and drift away.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
If in fact the Chinese have developed a hypersonic missile that can deliver a nuclear weapon, it's a military game changer when it comes to nuclear forces. We've allowed the Chinese to leapfrog us, and we're going to have to do one of two things: get them to stand down. And I don't know how Joe Biden convinces anybody to stand down. And if they don't stand down, we're going to have to develop a capability to neutralize this.
And what would that be? How would we neutralize what China might have developed? That's Senator Lindsey Graham, Republican of South Carolina. Basically, as he said, what can Biden do? Can he make them even blink? Do you think they fear this administration? That they fear this nation. The Financial Times originally reported that 3 days ago, China tested a hypersonic nuclear missile, and they'd done it back in August. Launched in low Earth orbit, circled the Earth, failed to hit its target, according to the Financial Times, but it came close. China has denied launching a hypersonic missile, saying, this is just a routine spacecraft test. We're just doing this for reusable spacecraft technology. Now, Russia already has a hypersonic glide vehicle. And in fact, the guest we often have on the program, Stephen Bryan, who works for the Center for Security Policy, and Bryan's credentials are extensive, leading expert in security strategy and technology, various senior positions in the Department of Defense and on Capitol Hill. He says a Russian glide vehicle that can be carried as part of the payload on one of its heavy ICBMs, that's where they could put their hypersonic glide vehicle. That was announced by Putin back in 2018, deployed in 2019. It's by itself is not powered. but has an ability to maneuver as it heads to the target, making interception difficult. And it travels at top speed of 20 Mach. That's about 15,000 miles per hour. And the Russians also have an air-launched ballistic missile. Dealing with the Chinese hypersonic missile, if they have this, if they have it, it is going to be something we need to contend with, and sooner than later. But Brian, I should say, again, 50 years of government, industry, expert in security, Department of Defense, Capitol Hill, now the Center for Security Policy, said that Washington should not be surprised if the Chinese had developed this. And he also acknowledges what the Chinese and Russians know. The U.S. currently has no defense systems, missile defense systems, against ICBMs or submarine-launched ballistic missiles. What we have are less than 50 ground-based interceptor missiles. They're in California at Vandenberg Air Force Base, and also in Alaska at Fort Greeley. That's public information. It's not anything classified. And you can bet the Russians and the Chinese know it. So when this report surfaced about China doing this, what's been the response from the White House? Here's Jen Psaki.
I know General Secretary Austin, I should say, was asked this question this morning and addressed it, but I'm not going to comment on the specific report. I can say and would echo what he said, which is generally speaking, we've made clear our concerns about the military capabilities that the PRC continues to pursue. And we have been consistent in our approach with China. We welcome stiff competition, but do not want that competition to veer into conflict.
We welcome the competition. You welcome the fact that one of your biggest enemies is coming up with a missile that you can't defend against. You welcome the competition. This is the kind of language that's coming out of the White House as she speaks on behalf of the president. And added, but we want to make sure it doesn't veer into conflict. Oh, that's almost like an added thought. The very same leadership, Biden, Defense Secretary Austin, and all of the generals under them that oversaw the Afghan disaster withdrawal, sticking to a date that Biden said this date, and it put the military in a tough bind. I mean, maybe the leaders all insisted under testimony. We told them that would not be wise. We got to keep folks there, and we cannot go by that date. And he decided to do what he wanted to do. He is commander in chief. This whole little cabal is still sitting in Washington. Do you think they're even discussing China? They pretty much want to forget Afghanistan, write it off. Maybe when they do their annual year-end review card, they send out to friends and neighbors, say, oh, well, we pulled out of Afghanistan. And just simply go let it go at that, not mention Americans left behind. And there was a report that came out the other day that I hadn't had time to dig into, but basically we've got something like 60,000 Afghans brought into our country. And I questioned from the beginning, have we properly vetted these people? And then have we checked them for any illnesses they might be bringing? And we're already seeing cases of TB, mumps and measles break out in some of these areas where they're being held at various bases across the nation. That's not even to count all the illegals being flown from the southern border to the north in night flights. Yeah, that information is coming out. I'll try to spend more time on that tomorrow about how they're sneaking them into cities in the dark of night, not even letting them know they're coming in. But out of the 60,000 Afghans we have brought in, one source says less than 3% held those special visas that we were giving to those who helped us while we were in Afghanistan for those 20 years. In other words, who the hell did we bring into this country, and where are they now? Maybe it's going to be another thing that the White House say, well, we welcome their ability to test our system. You don't have a system. And how did China get to this point so quickly? If they have, in fact, launched this hypersonic missile. House Foreign Affairs Committee ranking member Michael McCaul, Republican of Texas, said that the China missile test is, quote, kind of a Sputnik moment. Do you remember that? Some of you are old enough to remember. I do. When suddenly we had the Russians were in space ahead of us. He said it's kind of a Sputnik moment, if you will, where we have to win this global competition against our greatest adversary, Communist China. It's like a new space race and a bit of a Cold War. But he added, the most disturbing part, I think, is that the technology, it came in the most part from the U.S. We have software companies in the U.S. that exported this software to Taiwan, who made the chips that China infiltrated and got the chips and created and built these missiles. Again, that is Congressman Michael McCaul, ranking House Foreign Affairs Committee member, Republican of Texas. Congressman Waltz, Republican of Florida, said, this is obviously economic warfare. This hypersonic missile is a culmination of multiple decades of Chinese stealing their way to the top, taking out our IP out of our universities, our research institutions, through cyber. So if they can't do it, they buy it. And he said the thing that's frustrating is it's our money that's fueling this military buildup from Wall Street to Hollywood to sports, you name it. We're awash in Chinese money. We're compromised. We're not manufacturing here. We're not protecting our intellectual property. And even when we try, they steal it or turn in and use it against us. Well, that same point was made by Richard Grenell. And Grenell knows firsthand. He's a former acting Department of National Intelligence director. And said, here's how China gets its information. Now, he said this back 7 days ago, October 12th. In response to that, the Pentagon chief overseeing cyber warfare resigned. The Pentagon chief who had resigned says, we've already lost a cyber fight with China. There's no competing in 15 to 20 years. It's already over, in my opinion. Here was Grenell's reaction.
China requires you to have a junior partner. If you are an American company doing business in China, you have to have a Chinese junior partner. That company is loyal to the Communist Party of China. There's no getting around that. We need to have a very strict rule in the United States that if you are an American company getting sensitive intelligence, military, or diplomatic contracts from state, DOD, or intelligence agencies, you should be barred from working inside China.
You should be barred from working inside China. Well, on one hand, you say, absolutely, I applaud that over and over again. Well, let me go back to what I said a moment ago when I was quoting Congressman McCaul, Republican of Texas. He said, we have software companies in our nation that export this software to a company in Taiwan that makes the chips. China infiltrated and then got the chips and created and helped build these hypersonics. And then you had Congressman Waltz, as I said, it's our money fueling this military buildup from Wall Street to Hollywood. We've compromised ourselves. Grenell says, yes, it is not just a political decision, and it does not rest on one political party.
I've talked to congressional people about it. But look, we've got the ranking member of House Armed Services, Mike Rogers, who is against that. He's a Republican, and he is against that because it impacts businesses in his state of Alabama. I think that's unacceptable. We need to have a wall that separates these two because China's coming for us.
They are coming for us. Make no doubt about that. And again, back to the article by Stephen Bryan, Center for Security Policy. He said the U.S. posture on strategic missile defenses is not to have any, or at best keep only a minimal number to deal with rogue threats. He said the Chinese argument that the launch was a test of a reusable space vehicle does not make terribly much sense. He said, look at SpaceX. It's demonstrated that multiple times. Testing low Earth orbit hypersonic glide vehicles. Grinnell said that is dangerous, and that, in fact, if they tested an ICBM-based hypersonic glide vehicle, there's little doubt that U.S. radars and space sensors saw it and could follow it. Senator Graham.
If this is true, the Chinese have developed this capability. It's the biggest game changer in the last 40 years.
The last 40 years. And that also means the biggest new danger from China in the last 40 years. And the Biden administration is supposedly in charge. That should help you sleep well at night, shouldn't it? Coming up, the efforts to defund police, but of course those who are in special positions, they still get their protection. You, not so much.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I would never, never, never encourage you to go out and commit a crime. But if you're inclined to do so, I suggest you go to Portland. They had, a week ago, a massive outbreak of violence, not just graffiti, but setting fires, shattering numerous store windows, smashing bank ATMs in downtown Portland. 35 separate locations, retail stores, coffee shops, yes, and government buildings as well. Not one person has been arrested. Not one. And police were there, but they were just sitting in their car. And the reason? Well, because police have been told you're limited on what you can do. And one resident said, does that now mean we're a lawless city? Anyone can come in, just bash and do all the damage without any repercussions? And the answer is pretty much. Because, again, they put all calls in the city, police, 911, all calls went on hold except for the highest priority. Highest priority would be, I'm not sure rape would be a high priority. I'm not sure physically assaulting and battering a child. Murder, that might be a high priority. This is what we've come to law enforcement. The police are handcuffed. They're facing a reduction in numbers. And Portland's setting a new homicide record. In Minnesota, Ilhan Omar and Keith Ellison supporting a ballot measure to entirely replace the Minneapolis Police Department, saying it's rotten to the core, rotten to the root, the exact quote. And, of course, many on the left, the far, far left, are saying defund our police, take the money from them. Don't let them have guns in hand. I told you the other day in Norway that when police arrived to stop the guy with the bow and arrows that was shooting and killing people, all they could do is shout at them. They didn't have any guns. By law in Norway, they're not allowed to carry their guns. They can have maybe in the vehicle. It's got to be under lock and key, not on their hip. Or maybe they have to go back to the station to get them. But rest easy if you are a member of the far, far left. AOC and other members spent nearly $100,000 on private security in the third quarter. despite constantly saying you need to defund the police, that police are bad. AOC, her campaign itself, spent $10,000 on private policing with different groups. Congresswoman Presley's personal security bill, $4,000 plus. But then AOC and Presley dwarfed in their security spending by Congresswoman Ilhan Omar, Democrat of Minnesota. And don't forget, Cori Bush, Democrat of Missouri, who had said, I can spend as much as I want on my security. What do you want? You want to see me dead? No, I don't. But you're taking police protection from your own constituents, but you're making sure that you've got private security around yourself all the time, and your family, and your home. $65,000 on private security so far this year by Missouri Congressman Bush. Yes, this is what the left is doing now, vilifying everybody and demeaning you and making sure that you don't have what you need, much less want, but they will. And in the midst of that, trying to push and do a little shell game in our schools, trying to indoctrinate our children at the youngest ages possible into transgender beliefs and so forth, and critical race theory. And when parents start showing up at school board meetings and demanding some answers and saying, we've been silent long enough, we want some answers, the National School Boards Association, NSBA, sent a letter direct to Merrick Garland, the Attorney General, and said all of these parents now coming to these school board meetings, the FBI needs to investigate them. They are terrorists. They are the terrorists. I've got a guest discussing that issue coming up.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
It's a fact that Ackerman Toyota is improving the local community. Jay Ackerman had a vision, and you can see the Ackerman Toyota dealership created a beautiful showplace at Hampton, just north of Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota, sponsoring the next segment, new or pre-owned. Ackerman Toyota, for life.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
His name is Chip Slavin. He's the interim executive director and CEO of a group called the NSBA, National School Boards Association. That sounds kind of highfalutin, doesn't it? Sound like maybe, oh, that's a group that watches over our kids. Yeah, not so fast there. He responded to something that happened the other day because the NSBA had sent a letter to the Attorney General, Merrick Garland, saying we need the FBI to start investigating some of folks showing up at our school board meetings. And in fact, added over the past few weeks, school board members and other education leaders have received death threats, been subjected to threats and harassment, both online and in person. And of course, that should not happen. But also upset with the individuals causing chaos, disrupting our school board meetings. Because parents want to be told the truth. And they want to know, what are you teaching our kids and you won't tell us? Jonathan Butcher is with Heritage Foundation, also the author of a book, Splintered, Critical Race Theory and the Progressive War on Truth. Jonathan, glad to have you on board, sir.
Great to be with you.
So when Merrick Garland got this letter from the NSBA and immediately took action, activating the FBI, giving them directives to what? Go out and start discussing strategies with dealing with parents who come to the school board? What's going on?
Well, the National School Board Association is just like a union for school board members, just like teachers' unions are for teachers. And they wrote a letter to the White House and said that the White House should use, quote, extraordinary measures, including activating the FBI, Department of Homeland Security, the Patriot Act. They had no examples that they put in their letter that would even remotely rise to the level of federal activity. Regardless, Garland sent a memo himself just days later saying that the FBI had 30 days to get together with other enforcement agencies to figure out a way to respond to these supposed threats.
And the NSBA is saying it's the parents coming there and not letting us run the meeting and the schools we want. And, of course, you've got right now in Virginia a big election underway where candidate McAuliffe says parents shouldn't have anything to say about their child's education.
Well, that's right. We're talking about parents and taxpayers. Very essence of what is a local representative federalist system, their local school board meeting, and saying that they want to advocate for their children. And again, there are no examples that the School Board Association has been able to find that indicate that this should be done at the responsibility of Washington. And it shouldn't be, right? These are local issues that should be handled by local law enforcement if necessary.
Well, there was one parent taken to the ground, and he was complaining because his daughter, according to her report, had been raped, if not sexually molested, short of rape, in a bathroom where a boy in a skirt posing as a fluid gender decided that day he was going to be female and went in there and assaulted her and apparently is responsible for more than one case. And it was never reported to police. So, yeah, parents get up in arms. And I, as a father, I damn well would get angry if they're ignoring something like that.
Well, without question, and these are the reasons that we do need parents and taxpayers to go to school board meetings to speak up about what they know and to tell school boards that, you know, they are not being as transparent as they can. The issue, as soon as the school board's memo came out about a week later, there were state school boards from around the country, Florida, as well as Louisiana, and a number of states said that they were never consulted when the School Board Association sent their letter, and most of them said that they opposed what the School Board Association was requesting.
Yeah, let me fill that in. In fact, you wrote an article I was reading, and that's what caught my attention on this, since you mentioned the school boards that are members but are not happy with it. In fact, you named school boards in Florida, Montana, Delaware, Georgia, Louisiana, Missouri, North Carolina, Virginia, all some, or at least some, are members of the NSBA, releasing statements opposing that very direction, increased federal involvement in local school board meetings. Who's listening to who, though?
Well, I think that it's definitely important that we see state school boards saying that they disagree with what the National School Board Association is doing. This means that a special interest group is trying to drive the change. It's not representing local parents, obviously, because they're saying parents need to be intimidated, and it's not even representing state school boards. So I think that this, you know, this is a special interest group with a political agenda that's taking advantage of the fact that they have a receptive White House that'll listen to their claims.
And to that point, you also added that earlier this year, the same NSBA was urging the Biden administration to pursue any policies that would advance critical race theory in schools.
Well, that's right. And they advocated that the Biden administration reinstate the federal workforce diversity trainings that the Trump administration had pulled back because those diversity trainings had racially discriminatory teachings in them. And the NSBA wants the Biden administration to reinstate that and to do it again, as well as other policies related to school discipline that the Trump administration had rescinded that had originally been enacted under the Obama administration effectively micromanage school safety policies from Washington.
Well, a lot of this did start with the parents suddenly paying more attention to the school board meetings, what's happening in school, on the critical race theory. But the whole cancel culture also rolls into it. I know in your book, again, Splintered Critical Race Theory and the Progressive War on Truth, they were attacking anything and everything were possible without the parents being aware of the curriculum. I understand that in one class, students were asked to write down what kind of programs and things and so forth that your parents watch on TV. Now, was that to enlighten them, or was it to educate them, or was it to spy on the parents and say, "Ah, they're Fox watchers. We know where they're going."
Well, and we also know that there are school districts around the U.S. that are trying to hide the material that they're teaching in schools from parents.
Right.
There have been emails reported by whistleblowers that have been found from educators who are saying, we need to keep teaching this critical race theory material. Just don't put it up on websites that parents can access. They're trying to keep this material from the parents of the kids in their schools.
And we're talking about K through 12. That's and preschool, even before that. But the first step is it's happening in institutions of, quote, higher learning, where those who are going to be teachers are taught, here's critical race theory and what you need to know about it and how to use it on the age group you'll be teaching.
That's right. It's been in institutions of higher education for decades, and it has some of the books that promote critical ideas, such as Paulo Freire's Pedagogy of the Oppressed, are some of the most widely used textbooks and resources in colleges of education. Look, we have examples of policies that create more transparency for K-12 schools. These have been considered or enacted in places like Wisconsin, Arizona, Utah. We have examples of policies that prevent teachers or students from being compelled to affirm any idea that goes against the Civil Rights Act of 1964. Those have been introduced in states like Idaho, as well as in Washington, D.C., where Congress has the authority to consider legislation. So we have examples of ways that we can provide not just more transparency, but also prevent people from being compelled to affirm or profess racist ideas.
Well, the plus side is parents are paying more attention and getting involved in school board meetings and even running for office.
That's right, and they've been flipping seats. We've seen that in Texas this year. We've seen a remarkable number, in fact, more than twice as many as last year so far, of recall elections of school board members. So
right.
Voters and parents are becoming active. And it's
we cannot take our eye off of it. Jonathan Butchereth, I want to thank you very much for your time, sir.
Thank you.
You bet. Jonathan Butcher with the Heritage Foundation. You know, I had related once before to you folks, years ago, Reader's Digest, for those of you still familiar with that publication, there was a story in there, I believe that's where the story originated, or at least where I saw it, where a teacher is telling all the students, how many of you believe in God? And everybody raise their hand. They said, put your head down on your desk and pray for a piece of candy. Don't peek up. Keep your head down the desk. Pray for some candy. Well, all the kids put their head on their desk. They prayed for a piece of candy. A couple minutes. She said, raise your head. Anybody got any candy? No, they didn't. She said, okay, now put your head on the desk and pray to our great leader that you will get a piece of candy. And so they did that. And during that 2 minutes, the teacher was putting candy in front of each child on their desk. And she said, look, and they all saw they had candy. But one student said, yeah, but I saw you put it there. She said, well, that's the way it happens. You will get it if you let the government do things for you. Don't rely on religion, rely on government. You see the lesson? Well, what about the lesson of Joe Biden and his mask?
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
There is a mask requirement inside D.C. restaurants, yet President Biden and the First Lady were not wearing masks while walking around a D.C. restaurant on Saturday. Why?
Well, I think what we are referring to is a photo of them walking out of a restaurant after they had eaten, masks in hand, where they had not yet put them back on yet. So I would say, of course, there are moments when we all don't put masks back on as quickly as we should. But I don't think we should lose the forest through the trees here, and that our objective here is to get more people vaccinated, make sure that that schools and companies around the country can put in place requirements to save more lives and keep people safer. And, you know, not overly focus on moments in time that don't reflect overarching policy.
It was not just exiting the restaurant, though. He was walking through the restaurant with no mask on. There is a carve-out for people under two or people who are actively eating or drinking. So I'm just curious why the president was doing this.
I think I just addressed it.
No, you didn't. No, you didn't. You just gave a simple, stupid, fide answer. But Biden was, along with the First Lady, walking maskless through a high-priced D.C. Italian restaurant Saturday. Secret Service escorting them out. They were all masked. The D.C. health guidelines state any business establishment open to members of the public, including restaurants, bars, grocery stores, so forth and so on, per the D.C. CDC guidance and D.C. Mayor Bowser's executive order, all over age two are required to wear a mask indoors regardless of vaccination status. The Bidens obviously ignored the D.C. law. Ah, well, so did the D.C. mayor back in August. She violated when she attended a wedding reception. So did Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot the other day at a basketball game, ignore her own rule. But when they don't, when people don't, or when people push back against the vaccines, you watch how fast they come after you if you're not wearing a mask and or you are against getting a vaccine for yourself. You're not an anti-vaxxer. It just doesn't make sense for you, or even your doctor told you. No, you cannot have that right. Anchor Chris Cuomo just had to raise the issue with the passing of Surgeon General Jerome Adams when he was talking about Secretary of State Colin Powell. And Cuomo said, in terms of his passing and how he would want it understood, what do you say about the idea of Powell passing while being vaccinated is proof that vaccination is not necessary? And the Surgeon General said, absolutely untrue. You still need to wear them. Well, look what happened today. This word just coming down a few minutes ago. Homeland Security Secretary Mayorkas testing positive for COVID-19. He had just days ago attended an event with President Biden. Biden is vaccinated. Mayorkas is vaccinated. Whether or not they're wearing masks all that time, I don't know. But when they keep insisting you have to wear a mask and you must be vaccinated, we have to protect the unvaccinated from the vaccinated. Well, it looks to me like the vaccinated caused somebody that was vaccinated to get the virus. Oh, the secretary's doing okay. I want you to know they're saying he tested positive and he's experiencing only mild congestion, fully vaccinated, will isolate and work at home per CDC protocols and medical advice. Unless he wants to go to an Italian restaurant in D.C. Now, I added that part. Okay, I added that part. See what this is? And they get upset when you say, are you just trying to control us? No, we're trying to make you safe and take care of things. But you're going to fire somebody from a job? You're going to bounce them from their position? If they're in the military, you're telling them, despite all we've done to train you, like a Navy SEAL, if you will not take and get the vaccination, then we will not send you on active events. And in fact, we may dishonorably discharge you and demand you pay back the money that went into training you. $1 million+. That's what they're telling Navy SEALs and other military members. Southwest Airlines had said it had plans to put unvaccinated workers still waiting to be approved for a medical religious exemption on unpaid leave starting in December. Well, they're dropping plans to do that. They're saying the employee will continue to work while following COVID mask and distancing until their accommodation is processed. We're not going to put anybody on leave and take the money away from them. But that could change again tomorrow. I mean, you just watch how fast Dr. Fake flip-flops, like a fish yanked out of water on the beach. Flip-flop, flip-flop, flip-flop. What's on that? What, that side, that side? You have every right to be confused. And I think that is one thing we have to all agree COVID has done. And yes, it has. It is deadly. You need to be careful. Use precautions. But instead of just making us sick, and in some cases leading to death, COVID leads to stupidity in many cases. I need not cite examples. Thank you, as always, for joining us. We appreciate it. Be back here tomorrow. I'll let your family and friends know, will you? Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.